Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
As we get into the Word, it is obvious today we've come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but not everybody is celebrating it, and I don't understand why. What Jesus did, his finished work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection is the only reason that you and I can have any hope of a future or any desire for a future or life being worth living is because of this fact. I like the story in John 11:25 for the simple fact that it wasn't exclusively about Jesus' resurrection one day, but it was about the fact that we can have a resurrection in our own life when we encounter Jesus. Jesus' very best friend, one of them on the earth, was named Lazarus. He had died. He had got the news earlier when he could have come, but he didn't come when everybody thought that he should have. Have you ever been there? You know, you asked God to come pay your bills, come help you out, and all that kind of stuff. Come get you a friend, get your wife, you know, do something for you. And, you know, he don't really come when you want him to. Maybe somebody's going to be honest over here. He don't come when you want him to. Because he, you know, he never comes exactly when I want him to, but I'm not the Lord. And he shows up for his own purposes, and the sisters runs out to him and say, if you would have been here, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And I'm mad at you. You ever been there where you love God, but there's a tension on the inside of you? Because God just lets some stuff go wrong in your life. He could have fixed it. You know you could have fixed it, Jesus. You're the fixer. But it's all right. We can't fight you. Jesus asked her the question. It's in verse 25. Jesus said to her, or he made the statement, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what died. Doesn't matter what tumult has come on you or pain or suffering. I am the resurrection and I'm the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And he asked the question that each of us have to answer today is, do you believe what? In who I am and what I've done and what's available to you? See, God is so powerful that the moment you come into interaction with him, you've got a chance. You've got a chance to live. I don't know how you got in the room today. I don't know what inspired you in the earthly realm, but I do know that if you come, it's because God is drawing you. And the revelation that he believes that we need is one of his resurrection. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15:3 this way, for what I have received, I pass on to you of first importance, that Christ died for the sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brethren at the same time, most of whom who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. You know, there's a reason why Jesus had to die, and it wasn't him. He lived a sinless life. He lived a perfect life. But when man sinned, and all of us have sinned, everybody can raise their hand. You may not have done Adam and Eve sin, but you did one sin, and one transgression of the law makes you eternally separated from God. So you can start it wherever you want to start it. You've got the same problem that the first human beings had. We and God are not aligned with one another. But thanks be to God that he lived a sinless life. He paid the price. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. And Acts 2 said death could not hold him, though death had his fangs in him. It couldn't hold him. And even when he was on the cross, the scripture says he was strangling the strongholds. While he was on the cross without breath, in the spirit, he was saying, get your hand off me. It's like God is victorious and we have the victory. But 74% of us statistically believe we're going to heaven or some good place, and what you do down here, you know, it might matter a little bit, but in the end, God knows you. God knows me. He knows I'm good. I haven't killed anybody. And it's going to be all right in the end. I'm going to just get up there, and when I see God, whoever he is, I'm just going to say, you know, I'm a reasonable person. Yes, I had some things, but I'm not Hitler. You know, I'm not him. I wish maybe it was that easy, but it's not that simple when you don't pay attention to the gift of time on this earth. It can affect you for all eternity. And the worst thing in the world is to think you got it going on and find out, think you're doing all the stuff right, find out it's wrong. You forgot the milk. Your wife gave you the grocery list and you keep forgetting the milk. You thought you had it all right. Or somebody asked you, how your marriage doing? Man, you ought to pick this one up by now. You know, Pastor Tim asked me that one time. I said, man, I'm doing awesome. My wife's doing just the best I ever done in my life. You're talking about high times. Woo! It can't get no better than this. He turned to her and said, well, how's it going? Well, Pastor Tim, I'm glad you asked me that. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know right there. That's all you need to know. I ain't going no further. But you know, the funny thing is I was shocked. I thought, you know, surely I'm fine. Yeah. It's something about our self-evaluation that is not based on the facts. Yeah. We don't have the truth. Yeah. A man's way, according to the scripture, is just in his own eye. But it takes his neighbor to keep him healthy. That's why I thank God for Pastor Rice. He can come, say, James, let me help you. This is what he'll do. Let me help get in your brain right now, because this little, I got to help you. Everybody needs help. So you're sitting in here today. Everything I say is designed to help you. You know, a lot of people have that story of dying and having an opportunity to still walk on the earth, and they tell you about their after-death experience. And, you know, not too many of the stories are about, you know, the pearly gate, you know, hanging out with Moses, you know, lying to the lamb. They ain't got a lot of those out there. But you do have a lot out there saying it was dark. I was suffocating, and I felt like, when are we getting out of here? And I was looking for help, but I couldn't find none. And it's what you don't want. You don't want to open your eyes after you die, and all of us are going to die. And your eyes wake up to eternal damnation because you hadn't settled the issue of his death, burial, and resurrection and your submission to it. It's not a casual message. Paul said it. It's of first importance. Need to be preached every day, all day. And I'm going to help you see through Luke 24 that all of those that were closest to him who should have known this truth from his own mouth, life, everything he expected, they should have known it, but yet they had doubt. Yes. So if they had the most present version and they struggled, maybe we're struggling here today, but we're struggling with the right thing, because if we don't solve this, it's too much risk. I reviewed my life with my mom last night, and I was going over a story with her of my duplicity, my 1 foot in and 1 foot out, my hypocrisy growing up, where I did a lot of moral things correct just so I can have my one immoral thing, my one unrighteous thing that no one could blame me for, because after all, I stayed pure, I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, but I would knock you out. See, I snapped back. I'm back. And so God was going to help me deal with this shadiness in me. Because I thought I was solving my own sin problem, but I wasn't. And so God, first year of college, I'm at that place that you give yourself an excuse to go that you know you shouldn't go. What's the icebreaker? We didn't go to my church going to the icebreaker, but I'm going. I'm just going to have fun. Ungodly as it comes. And instead of leading people to him, they were saying, God, James, you're good, and you know God, and if you can be here, and we can be here, you can have God, and you can boogie down. Man, I love it. And I was leading people the wrong way. And while I was at the party, God spoke to me that he was through with this double standard in me. Said, Jane, you need to leave tonight. Lord, I'm having fun. You've been holding me out from fun far too long. I have given you exclusivity in so many categories, but I'm free. You ever been free like that? You know, you get away from your parents the first time and you find out, man, your adults can do anything. And I was there, but the conviction was too strong. See, there comes a day like today when God has drawn a line in the sand on your life, but you didn't know it. You say, oh, no, James, this ain't a conversation you get back to. Leave. No sooner did I leave, the whole party got shot up. Completely shot up. But when you're not in your right mind, that don't mean nothing to you. I'm in the parking lot acting a fool. Where at? Where at? Oh, that's them right there. I'm all in the car window. They got the gun. What's up? That's just called foolish. And if you're foolish, you're a fool. That's just stupid. If you see somebody with a gun, you're supposed to run the other way. Run. Don't be proud. Somebody grabbed me by my neck and pulled me out of that. So walking with my one sin, I like to harbor and nurture, and that anger, that right to be mad for every injustice that I've ever experienced, that right to take life in my own hands and do things my own way, independent of God and any other authority that can speak in my life. My right to be angry and feel what I want to feel. And I walked up on something that made me mad enough to kill. I saw these skinheads abusing this interracial couple. They was taunting them, everything. And I asked my friend to go get my bat. And he ran. It's a true story. And I got that bat with every intention to hit the skull and hurt, harm, murder. I felt not only the anger, but the generational curse saying, I'm ready to express myself in the fullest measure. Are you? And I'm saying, yes. Not to the Lord, to that other voice that tells you it's all right. And as I've got the bat and a history throughout my family of someone with a bat murdering, I'm running down, and the opposite of Christ is so alive in me that I'm willing to do things that violate my conscience. And I run down this hill, and I get all the way down, but I couldn't see to my left Grace. Grace was the police was coming at the same time I was. And have you ever been in that spot where you don't know if they've seen you yet? They see me? Because you was confident when you was running down there. But then reality and sobriety hit you. And I eased my way back up the hill, but it wasn't without the Holy Spirit speaking to me about my duplicity and where it had gotten me. Absolutely nowhere but in peril. And yes, the tears, I can feel the emotion now begin to run down my face and stuff start coming out of my nose. And I begin to speak to God in a very clear way. Let me make it clear to you, God, you've had some of me, but you can have all of me. You had a part of my attention. You had a part of my heart. You had a part of my focus. You had a part of my devotion. But no. You don't deserve parts. You get it all. Because I found out I cannot trust me with me. And that's when the scripture says he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And all of a sudden, that which was not turned on in me, I began to see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can save me and give me newness of life. I started walking different. And the only reason I can stand here with you today because I got snatched out of that place where I looked the part, where my childhood would be praised. And God, who sees everything, say, that right there, James, is not right. It can't stand. And now you know it. The story in Luke 24 says it this way. Jesus had already died. He'd already been raised from the dead. The tomb was already empty. The women had already come back and told the disciples. Peter had already run down there to see, you know, what was going on. And they found out, you know, it wasn't there. But there's a line in Luke 24:11. And it says it this way. It says, even though they had gotten all that experience, all that information from those women, they said this, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. You can be that close to Jesus and still find yourself not believing. I can be telling you my testimony of being resurrected, getting my life back, my eternal life. You can hear story after story and find yourself saying, hey, you know, that's a good story. That's a good tale. That ain't my story. The pride, the stubbornness, the ability to be romanced by a snake and an enemy and something that tells you that life is meant to be about you, to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. And you know that's a lie, but you don't have anybody in your life that's a boss to you. I know what I want to know. Tell me what to do. I'm grown. Grown will get you gone. Make a rhyme. I can't read it all, but I love it. It says, that very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is the conversation that you are holding with each other as you talk and walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? No, he's right. No, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a mighty prophet indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it was now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some of the women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of an angel. So who said that he was alive? Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as they said it was. Here it is. Here are people who shouldn't be confused. Here are people who are real disciples. Here are people who are walking away from the problem, walking away from the city, walking away from religion, walking away from the religious leaders, walking away from everything that seems to be all up in the uproar. You might be like the generations now today. They're through with church because everybody can't seem to get their story together. Everybody can't get their act together. Even the leaders don't know what's going on. I'm out! I'm walking out, and they're walking home, and Jesus, who is benevolent and merciful and loving, knows that they love him, and he finds himself walking with them. But they were kept from seeing him. I don't know what you're going through But don't you know Jesus is walking with you even when you feel like he's far away? The Bible says he is near to you. He all you got to do is call. All you got to do is reach. All you got to do is think. He is near to you. He's not far from you. But they were kept from seeing him maybe because they had already had a perception about who he was based on him dying on the cross. They had seen their friend, their master, their Lord, their primary teacher die. They wanted to see him being a conquering king, but he was always doing opposite to whatever they thought he should do. And because now he was always doing opposite, they couldn't figure out, oh, what's going on? Confused, and they stood there sad. Sadness and being emotional does not make you saved. Jesus. You can come to this altar when I call you, and you need to come. You can cry, and we're going to give you tissue. And we're going to cry with you because the Bible says, mourn with them in the morning, rejoice with them. We're going to do it all right here today. But sadness and being emotional is something that the devils do. They see Jesus and tremble, the Bible says. You, disciples, you can't just be sad. You've got to be convinced. He is who he says he is, and he's Lord. But Jesus, merciful during the confusion, walks with them and he talks with them and he listens to them. Jesus doesn't come giving them anything. He comes asking them questions. You want Jesus to somehow give you the magic pill and hit the zap button and make everything all right. But Jesus is making you and I think how foolish it is to live life without him. Think. Tell me what's on your mind. He's not trying to harm you. So they walk with him and they listen to him. And while they're confused, Jesus works with them. I don't know where you're at today, and I don't know what's confusing you, but I know that Jesus is on the same journey with you. As you walk away from the things that seem to bring you security, Jesus with you. Jesus making it all right. I know you're still confused. It's all right. I'm not going to leave you in this confused moment. His objective is not to let you die confused. If you leave here without Jesus, you will blatantly know you did it. Yes. You won't be confused. Amen. All right, the second part is Jesus at some point, however, if you real confused and you don't get some basics, he going to bring some definite clarity. And this is what it's going to sound like. And he said to them, oh, foolish ones. Jesus don't even play with words. And slow of a heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going to go further, but they urged him strongly to stay, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening. And the day is now far spent. So he went and stayed with them. Clarity. Jesus said, you ought to know what's going on. Because I put it in your heart. I manifest myself to every man. You've been taught as a little Jewish boy what's really going on. You know all the Old Testament scriptures. And let me help you understand something. The word of God is enough to help you. But we need some other books. We need some other things. No, 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 no. Jesus used his primary tool. A person and the book to show you how to get to him. The same pattern that Jesus himself is modeling is the very one you need. You are not going to get to your proper destination without the help of other human beings anointed by God to speak to you. How can you hear without the preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? God is sending people to you constantly. You're going to have to show up and let somebody get involved in your life. That's what seeking God is all about. He brings clarity. Me being in Bible studies with the Purple Book brings clarity. You don't want to go through life still confused. Well, why did Pastor Ross, you was just on campus. You took the survey asking people if they knew why they believed in Jesus. And did they know why? No, the brightest students, the people who say they're believers, don't even know why they believe. They couldn't even point to the simple death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You don't want to be that. You sound like you want me to quit. I ain't quitting. Because I felt that quit spirit. No, that was her. I know. Yeah, you're going to have to park different today. I got to finish this. You're going to get it. You might as well tune out. It ain't your fault, Greg, but I just felt that you gonna want me to quit. Now, the bishop said land it, so I just... Listen, Micah, Isaiah, all these people, thousands of prophecies. The likelihood of all of these prophecies coming true is almost an impossibility. There is nothing on the planet that compares to Jesus' prophecies of the book.
Yes.
It would be 10 to the 17th power probability that this could happen. That's 10, that's like a one with 17 zeros behind it. It's not likely. Professor Greenleaf of Harvard said, there's more evidence, historical evidence, for the resurrection of Jesus than anything else. Yeah. And any sane, intelligent jury would have to agree. And finally, it produced a conviction. Jesus went with them. He sat with them. The Bible says he began to break bread with them. And from the moment that they saw him break that bread and bless it, the Bible said he disappeared, and they said, oh, no, it's him. We know it's him. And the Bible says immediately, even though it was evening, they went back to Jerusalem. They had just got to the village. They had just given up on the church. They had just given up on life. They had given up on everything. But when you get a revelation of who Jesus is and it becomes a conviction, you can't stay stuck on sorry, stupid. You can't stay where you're at. You got to somehow find yourself turning around and going and retracing your steps and getting to the place that disappointed you just to find out that God did everything he said he would do. A conviction hit him. Where you got to turn back from today? Well, if you turn away from one thing, you'll be turning to the greatest thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, you may be saying it here today, well, it's a good message for the people who are lost today, but not for me. But maybe you're like I was at 18 or 19 years old, living a hypocritical life, halfway in, halfway out, believing but not letting Jesus be Lord of my life. You got to settle that. So bow your head and close your eyes. And you listen to God, the Holy Spirit, speak to you. Forget my voice. I don't matter. I don't matter. Don't any plan of a church right now matter. Just you and your eternal destination matters. I don't want anybody looking, moving, or saying anything. If you found yourself in this message, half-heartedly serving Jesus or not serving him at all, my objective is not to embarrass you today. You're only going to come to the front today if you want to. But right now, in this moment, with nobody looking but me, you just got to be honest with yourself and God. When I count three, if you fit the description of somebody who's been estranged, been halfway in and halfway out, or didn't know him at all, and you're saying, I'm going to get it right today in my heart. Not about coming down here. I'm going to get it right in my heart. If that's you today, when I count three, you're not going to hesitate. You're going to throw your hand up and then put it down. One, two, three. Thank you. I see all those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I saw the hand in the upper venue. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody repeat after me before we close. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. For the rest of my life, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe you lived sinless. You died unjustly. God raised you from the dead. And with this confession from my heart, Jesus is now Lord of my life. I don't just believe. I surrender all. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now stand in the upper venue here and give God a hand clap of praise. And don't stop for a minute. Take 30 seconds and praise him. Come on. Come on. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Just bless him. You could have been dead in trespasses and sins, but God. Could have been confused, but God. Could have been lost, but God. Could have been in hell, but God. Could have been eternally separated, but God. Hallelujah. I would like my ministry team to come forward. If you find that you met this criteria of this message and you needed Jesus for the first time, or you just need us to pray for anything, you're not doing life with anybody. We want you during this AD series to do life with somebody. We want you to get involved. We don't want you to hesitate. So I know your family is here. We won't keep you long. But when we just say amen and dismiss, you make your way down to the front. So, Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We know you love us and care. You've given us so much evidence that you didn't have to. If there was no witness, you could testify for yourself because you're the truth. So thank you, Lord, for all of the many infallible proofs that you've given us. I ask God as we leave here today that you go with us, that you keep us safe in the center of your will and the jap of your eye. We'll give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you. As you exit, we try to get more shuttles going. So if it takes just a little bit longer for a day like today, I apologize, but we love you so much. We'll see you back for our AD series next week. God bless you.